So turn to Matthew 13, if you would, please. We're going to talk about the pearl of great price. The pearl of great price. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at just two verses, verses 45 and 46. Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Matthew 13 is known as the parable chapter. And of all the parables in this chapter, the parable of the pearl of great price is my favorite parable. And I'm going to break down the message this morning ultimately into two simple parts. The first part is going to deal with the merchant man, and the second part is going to deal with the merchandise. The merchant man and the merchandise. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. That's the merchandise. Who, when he had found this merchandise, this one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. First of all, today let's look at the merchant man. I want you to notice that he was the seeker in this endeavor. He is the one that is seeking this pearl of great price. And I want you to notice the extremes to which he went to find this merchandise. He went to great extremes and to great lengths to find this one particular pearl. That's the essence of this parable to me. To me, it seems like he went to a great deal of trouble in seeking out this merchandise. He would have went to the furthest extremes to find just one pearl out of so many, to go to so many places to find just the right pearl. When I think of somebody who might do that, I think of the Good Shepherd, who was willing to leave the 99 sheep and to go and to seek for that one little lamb that was lost. And he searched, and he searched, and he searched until he finally found it. And when he found it, he put it on his shoulders and he went away rejoicing, because that which was lost was now found. But this is different merchandise that this merchant man is seeking, and he is seeking something that he does not already own. The shepherd owned the sheep. He owned that lamb. It was already his. But this merchant man is going after something that does not yet belong to him, something that he doesn't have in stock, one particular pearl that he did not have. And he wanted to capture that one particular pearl for a particular reason. Why would a man go to such extremes to find such a thing? Well, the only answer that I can come up with is his extreme love. The only answer that really satisfies me as to why he would go to such extremes to find this was because of his love. He loved jewels. And love was the fuel that motivated him to seek this jewel. Now, if you wanted to go and find a pearl today, do you know where you would have to go? You just wouldn't walk outside of this church building this morning after service and find a pearl. You wouldn't walk into some clean place and just pick one up. You go down to where it's dark and dirty to find an oyster that has a pearl in it. What would cause this man to do that? To go to dark and dirty places to find one particular item, one thing. One reason, and that answer is love. There's a story in the Bible that very few preachers have ever preached on. It's a story about a little girl by the name of Rizpah. She became Saul's maid, and she bare him two sons. Through the actions of her life, she is one of the greatest preachers of love in the Old Testament. The day came when there was a famine in the land. And David inquired of the Lord, "Why is this famine upon our land?" And the Lord said the reason is because Saul had slew the Gibeonites. Remember, they had made a treaty with them when they entered the promised land, that the Gibeonites were to live under tribute, but they were not to be killed. It was a mistake that Joshua had made, but nonetheless, that promise, that covenant to them, God held as binding. But Saul slew some of the Gibeonites. And David then went to the Gibeonites and he said, "What will it take to get this famine off of our land?" And the Gibeonites said, "It will take the death of 7 of Saul's sons." And so they went and they got 5 of Saul's sons, and then they went and they found 2 more who belonged to this little maid by the name of Rizpah. They took those 7 boys and they hung them until they died. But there was one person who stayed with these boys for several days. And do you know what she did? She went and she took a cloth and she draped it over a rock, and then she sat upon that rock. Every night, when the wild beasts of the field would come and attack those dead bodies of those boys, Rizpah would fight those wild beasts off their bodies. Every day when the birds would come and try to pick and eat and devour of the decaying flesh, Rizpah would be there to fight off those birds. Why would she do such a thing? Even after their bodies were deteriorating and they were long dead, why would she do such a thing? Love. Love. That's why. The love of that woman, the love of a mother, compelled her to do that. But I want you to know today that the love of that mother, the love of that woman, is nothing in comparison to the merchant man who went seeking a goodly pearl. Because do you know who that merchant man represents in this parable? It's Jesus Christ. And he went to great extremes to find the pearl of great price. He went to the greatest extremes we could imagine because he loved us. And the love of anyone, the love of even a mother, is nothing in comparison to the love of our God, who sent his son to die upon the cross that we might be saved, that we might be found. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life for you. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you and me. What would cause him to leave the splendor of heaven to come and live upon this earth without a home, without a place to lay his head, and to one day be nailed to a cross and to die the most excruciating death known to mankind? What would cause him to do that for you? His love. There's no greater explanation than that. He loves you. God loves you so much that he's not willing that you should perish, that you would be lost and go to hell. He wants everyone to repent and be saved. Not only was love involved with this merchant man, but there had to be some labor involved. So we want to look at the extreme labor. For hours, weeks, months, even years, he hunted. And when he was tired, he hunted, and he hunted, and he kept on searching. I was going over some of this with Steve. I want to make sure I got this correct here, with a jeweler in the congregation. But he agreed with me that there are 3 kinds of pearls. There is the imitation pearl. There's what's called a cultured pearl. And there is the natural pearl, or the real pearl. The imitation pearl is man-made altogether. Man has a part in the cultured pearl. Man intentionally inserts an irritant like sand in the oyster. But man has nothing to do with the natural pearl, the real pearl. And I understand that they're very few, very rare in the world today. God stirs up a grain, stirs up the sea, and a grain of sand goes into that oyster and forms a real pearl. pearl. They're, of course, more expensive than other pearls, but they make the fake pearls so good today that really the only ones who can tell what the real from the fake is a jeweler. And the extreme labor to which this man went, this merchant man went, to find a real pearl, a genuine pearl. Because this was a goodly pearl, and it was a pearl that cost a lot, a pearl of great price. And so the extreme love, the extreme labor in searching for it. And how about the extreme loneliness? As he went by himself to search for this pearl, I couldn't have helped him because I wouldn't have known what he was looking for. Somebody might have been along with him and they might have said, "Here it is." But he knew the difference from between the real and the fake, the real, the genuine, and that which was man-made or imitation. The extreme loneliness that he went to. And number two, the experienced mind that the merchandise man had. He had experience. He knew what he was looking for. Again, somebody could have picked up a pearl anywhere and said, "Here, this must be it." But with his great experience, he would have said, that's not it. I know what I'm looking for. I don't know, have you ever been shopping, guys, with your wife? And you're looking for something, and you start making suggestions. How about this? And she says, "No, I know what I'm looking for. You know, I really can't describe it to you, but I know what I'm looking for." And she's not going to be satisfied with these things that you find to try to hurry up along the process. And will this satisfy? Will this do? "No, that won't do. I want the real thing. I want the genuine thing. I know in my mind what I'm looking for, and I'm not going to be content until I find it. I'm not going to rest at peace until I have it." Well, that's the way it was with this merchant man. None of the other pearls that they could find would do. It had to be one, and he was the only one that would recognize it when he saw it. I know what I'm looking for, the experienced mind that the merchandise man had. But then we come to the ending of his search, because it says, "Who, when he had found?" He looked no further. When he had finally found the one that he wanted, he knew it was it, and he looked no further. When he found that which he had been hunting for, he ended the search, and he looked no further. When I first laid eyes on my wife, I thought to myself, "I found her. I don't have to look any further." When Jesus found his bride, when Jesus found his church, when Jesus found me, when Jesus found you, when he found his pearl of great price, he didn't have to look any further. His search was over. He said, "I found it. I found my church. I found my bride. I found the pearl of great price." But then I want you to consider the expense the merchant man was without. Who went, when he had found it, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Think about that this morning. How important was that to him? It was of utmost importance because he was willing to sell everything, all that he had, to get it. Do you know that Jesus spent all that he had and ever would have for you? He spent all of his blood. Every precious drop of blood was spilled out and was spent for you. He paid a costly price for the merchandise. With his blood, he purchased me. Listen to me today. You are bought with a price. It cost Jesus everything to buy you. When he found you, he was rejoicing. He said, "This is it." But then he had to shed every ounce of blood and pay the debt and pay to get you. It cost him everything. The expense of the merchant man, he paid all. But I'm so glad today that he found me. I'm so glad that he didn't give up his search until he found me. And you know what? Jesus is still searching for some more pearls to put in his crown. He's still looking for individuals. He's still hunting. And maybe you're here today and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. He is still looking for you. I'm so glad he didn't give up before he found me. I want you to look, number two, at the merchandise. Number one was the merchant man. Number two is the merchandise. The merchandise is a pearl. Notice, first of all, the emancipation of this merchandise. The pearl is way in the back of that shell, way in the back of that oyster. It takes special equipment to open the jaws of that little oyster. And when that merchant takes that special equipment and goes back in for the pearl, he sets it free. And that's what God did for you and me. When he paid the price and we believed, we were set free. We've been liberated, emancipated, and set free by the grace of God. You know, this isn't the first time. It's not the only time Jesus set anything free. When they took him down from the cross and they laid his body in the tomb, do you know what Jesus was doing? He was down in hell preaching freedom to the captives. He said, he looked at his watch and he said, in just a few more hours, I'm going to be getting up. And when I get up, all of you who believed in me are going with me. And he set the captives from hell free. The merchandise is always set free by the merchant. And then the elaborate polishing of the merchandise. There's no perfect pearl. They all have a blemish on them. But the merchant took a tool called a peeler. And he takes this tool and he begins to peel away at the blemish. He begins to peel away at the bad spot until you can't see the imperfections in it. I don't know about you. I don't know if the peeler has ever worked in your life, but he sure has mine. Because I've had a lot of blemishes. And that jeweler, Jesus, takes out his peeler and he begins to peel away at my blemishes. And you know what? To be honest with you, sometimes I don't like it. And I just, leave me alone. But that doesn't stop him. He remains undaunted and he begins to peel away at the blemishes. He begins to peel away at the imperfections and the bad spots in my life. And someday, and even now, I'm thankful for him for doing that. But while he's doing it, it takes great faith to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for clearing up those imperfections and those blemishes. But if he's doing it in your life, someday you'll thank him for it. And if you're here today and there are blemishes in your life, there's sins of the flesh, could I just invite you to come to the peeler? You'll be able to look back someday and say, thank you, Lord, for making a precious jewel out of me. Thank you for taking away those imperfections. Thank you for taking away those sins. And thank you for making me more like Christ, for perfecting me. You know that he wants to make something out of you that he can be proud of? Do you know that his goal is to present you to himself? That's what he's going to do. He's going to take his church, his spotless bride. By the way, the church is said to be without spot or wrinkle or blemish. And when Jesus is done, he's going to take his church, his pearl of great price, and he's going to present it to himself. You will be presented to him. He is making something in your life that he can be proud of. Don't resist his peeling today. Don't resist his dealings in your life. He wants to remove the blemishes and polish you up real nice. And finally, this morning, the exhibiting of the merchandise. The merchant man wanted something the other merchants didn't have. And so he polished it and he put it on display, saying, "Come and see what I have." And when all of the blemishes are taken out and all the glory is put in, it'll be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Something for the world to see. And the Bible says that when he makes up his jewels, we will be in it. We'll be in his collection of jewels as the pearl of great price. And again, I thank God that he found me. And you know what? I really believe that Jesus is perfecting you and he's showing you off to the world. You know, he's proud of you. He's proud of the accomplishments that he's made in your life. One day Satan came to God. God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Do you think God was proud of Job? I do. He is holding Job up as a pearl. He's a righteous man, one that fears me and hates evil. And I'm proud of this man. And you know, I think God does the same thing of us. The devil, he speaks bad of us. But God, he speaks well of us. He says, "Have you considered my servant?" And you put your name in there because you're a pearl. You're a part of his jewels. If you have believed in Jesus Christ, you've asked him to be your Savior, you are part of the jewels that make up his crown. But there still could be some imperfections. Are you willing to come to the peeler and let him peel away those imperfections and polish you up so that you can be put on greater display? Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. You know that every pearl has some kind of blemish on it. Paul said, "There is none righteous, no, not one." All of us have blemishes. All of us have spots. All of us have imperfections. We're lying to ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. We're kidding ourselves if we think we're perfect. And so there is probably some spot in your life today that the Lord would like to peel away. Would you, where you are sitting, simply say, "Lord, I surrender to your instrument. Peel away that which is a blemish in my life. Polish it out. I'll meet you today as the peeler." Someday I'll thank you for what you're doing. I know that you are making of me something you can be proud of. He wants to do that. He wants to put you on display today. He wants to display you before the world. This person is mine. They're a jewel. They belong to me. Consider my servant today. Is there anybody here you've not asked Jesus to be your Savior? He's looking for you. The analogies all break down in some point. That pearl had no choice when the merchant found it, but you have a choice this morning. You have to allow yourself to be found. You have to give yourself to him. Is there anybody here that say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never asked him to be my Savior. And I realize today I want to be a pearl of great price. I want to be a part of the jewels that make up his crown." Anybody here, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to receive Jesus this morning." You know what? If you don't do that, you're still lost. and you're down in the dirt and you're down in the darkness. And you're, like it or not, you are being held as a prisoner. Just like that pearl until the merchant man set it free. You're being a prisoner. You might think you're serving yourself. You're not serving yourself. The Bible says there are those that the devil takes captive at his will, whenever he wants to. He just takes them captive. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not set free by me, then you're in bondage. The only way to be set free today is to come to the merchant man. Anybody here, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to receive Jesus as my Savior. And how many of you, in just moments before, recognized a blemish or an imperfection and you're saying, I'm coming to the peeler today to have it removed? Could I see your hand? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for these show of hands today. Thank you for their willingness to come to you as the peeler and let you work on their life. Lord, I rejoice in these pearls of great price before me today. But I even rejoice more because I know that the work that you have started in them, you will complete it. You will finish it. And someday we will all stand before your throne and you will present us faultless with exceeding joy. Thank you, Lord, for finding me, not giving up on me. Now, Lord, I pray that you would put me on display. Have your way with me that you might put me on display, that I could be a testimony to the world and part of your glorious church without spot, wrinkle, blemish. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you hear the coming brother thronging off the streets of light? Clad in glorious shining garments, blood-washed garments pure and white. Tis the glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Do you hear the stirring anthems filling all the earth and sky? 'Tis a grand victorious army, lift its banner up on high. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Never fear the clouds of sorrow, never fear the storms of sin. We will triumph on the morrow, even now our joy begins. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Wave the banner, shout his praises, for our victory is nigh. We shall join our conquering Savior, we shall reign with him on high. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Trust that you're part of that church today.